The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you did not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's an author who's written several small books. They're really light-spirited books. And perhaps maybe you read some of his material. I've got several of his books on my shelf. A man named Robert Fulghum. Robert Fulghum is a man who likes to poke fun at the way we understand things. And the first book I ever read of Fulghum's is entitled "All That I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten." And you know, in this book, Fulghum, in his wisdom, points out many of the basic truths that we learn about living a good life, and we learn them actually in kindergarten or at a very early age. The top 10, he lists a bunch of them, but the top 10 are these. People are supposed to share. Always play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Here's one of my favorites. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Here's an important one. Remember to flush. And take a nap every day. Who does number 10? Take a nap every day. Yeah, I'd like to, but it doesn't always work out. You know, there's a lot more to understanding life than these 10 things, but these 10 things that Fulghum lifts up are fairly basic, and we learn them at a very young age. And it's a good start. It's a good start to living a good life. And he's right about one thing. As you read this book, Fulghum's right about one thing. The life lessons that we learn in kindergarten are lessons that we will typically live out all of our life. And they will shape the person that we become. You know, the same is said about life in the church. The same can be said about life in the church. The things that you learn in Sunday school, things that you learn about God, about Jesus, about life as a Christian, up until the time you're age 10 or 12, Those are the things that we say in the church, those are the things that you will take with you to the grave. Think about the things you learned about God at a very early age. You still believe them. You know, what do we learn by, say, age 12? Well, from the Bible, we learn something that we talked about with the kids this morning, that God created the heavens and the earth. God created everything that we see. And when God created it, he said it was good. It took him 6 days to create everything, and on the seventh day, God rested. We learned that early on, and that's something that we will always, always believe. Something else we always believe that we learned early, Noah built an ark. Noah built an ark because God was sending the rains, and he took the animals on board the ark two by two, and for what seemed like months, Noah and his family and those animals survived on the ark, and God delivered them from the death of the flood. Those are two very important lessons that we learn by age 12. There's a lot more. There's two that come from today's gospel text that we learn when we're very young, and things that we will always take with us. The first one is that in order to be saved, you must be born again. Now, the first time we hear that, we're usually pretty small, and we don't really understand what Jesus means when he says this. But we learn that. We learn that we must be born again. The other thing that we learn, and we see in the gospel text today, is that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Most of us learn that at a very young age. That's actually the verse that's on my confirmation certificate that I received when I was 13 years old. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We don't have any trouble with that. Most of us can rattle that verse off at the tip of a hat, and we can get the words right, and we can tell everybody what it means. But you know, the first thing that we learn from the gospel text today is this language about being born again. Sometimes we stumble over that one. This born again language, when you listen to it, it seems a little odd. Even Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, even Nicodemus had trouble with this born-again language. But when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about being born again, being born of water and spirit, being born anew, he wasn't talking about a natural birth. As he explained to Nicodemus, he was talking about a spiritual rebirth. A birth that is somehow different. A birth that is somehow mysterious. A birth that could only come from God. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, Jesus says. Jesus says, truly, truly. When Jesus says truly, he means it. When he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he really means it. He wants us to pay attention. Truly, truly, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. So being that this is Holy Trinity Sunday, perhaps we should think about this today. Perhaps we should ask the question, what is a spiritual rebirth? And maybe we should consider along with that, maybe we should consider the mystery that's involved with being born again. The mystery of God, the God who made us, the God who created us in his image and likeness. The God who, when he created the first human being, said it is very good. But before we begin to tackle this being born again, we need to look at what we know about God. For Christians, this life we live in faith, when you think about it and you look back on your life, it's a wonderful mystery. It's a wonderful, mysterious experience. It's a relationship that we enjoy, and we begin enjoying it and learning about it at a very young age. As children, we learn that there's only one God. But he reveals himself to us in three distinct ways. Three distinct persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We don't know how this can be. We can't possibly understand it. We just know that it's true. We know that the God from our text in Isaiah, our first lesson, you know, we call him the Father, God the Father. He's the God who speaks and brings forth all that we see. The God who is high and lifted up in his temple. The God who is judge and Lord and ruler. The God who dwells with his people in light, yet he's hidden from our eyes. The God who made himself known to the people of Israel back at Mount Sinai, when the lightning flashed and the thunder roared, they knew that God was present. God the Father. He knows all, sees all. This God is strange to us. This God is beyond us. We can't imagine what he's like. This is the God that we dare not touch. This is the God that we dare not look at face to face. Though we know him, and he knows us. And he loves us, and we love him. And then we have God the Son, who is called the Christ. He is the God who is lowly and humble. He's the God who reaches out and touches those who are sick. He's the God who welcomes children into his lap. He is the God who serves others, cures them of their diseases. He's the God who walks the earth with us, cries and laughs with us. He's the God who faces temptation with us, the one who becomes hungry just as we become hungry, and the one who shows us how to love God with our whole heart and how to love our neighbor as ourselves. He is the God who embraces us, encourages us, and calls us unto himself. And the Son of God is also the one who surrenders himself to those who would hang him on a cross, where he would die the death that we deserve. He suffered death obediently, having only the promise of the Father that he would be raised on the third day. That's God the Son. Then there's God the Holy Spirit. We all know God the Holy Spirit, the source of our strength, the source of our hope, the source of our faith, the source of our belief, the source of our love. He is a supplier of the healing words of Scripture. He is a supplier of comfort and peace. The Holy Spirit is the one who gathers us into God's presence. He's the one who bestows gifts upon gifts for us to use for the benefit of others. God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who calls us all to be members of the one family of faith. Believe it or not, all of these things are the things that you learned before you were 12 years old. You did. You learned all of these things at a very young age. This is what we learn about God when we're young. And we grow up knowing these things. We grow up knowing that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And he calls us to engage God's Word, to read the words of Holy Scripture, so that we might learn even more. And so for this reason, this is the reason why for years and years and years you have come here to St. Jacob's, come to other churches, you've gathered on the Sabbath day, on the Lord's Day, with the people of God to worship, to give thanks, to receive God's good blessings. This is the reason, because the Holy Spirit has filled you with the power of God's love. You learned that as children. We pray regularly together. We sing regularly together. We rely heavily on those things that our parents and our grandparents and people before them have taught us, so that we can live fruitful lives as God's children. Yet as Christians, called by the Holy Spirit, we don't know all there is to know about God. God is always greater than what we can imagine. God is always greater than our knowledge of him, those things that we can think of. God is always greater than the love that we feel that we have for him. God is always greater than that. But we do know what God has shown about himself and about his people. And we do know that God comes to us in these three distinct ways. Our God is so mysterious, yet he's so personal. He's so far off, and yet he's so near. Our God is so unfamiliar, yet we can't fail but recognize him. We recognize him everywhere we go. And knowing all this about God helps us understand what Jesus means when he says we must be born again. That which is born of water and spirit. We must be born of the Spirit. We must have the Spirit of God dwelling within us so that we can come to believe all of these things. As we come to the waters of baptism, God pours out his Holy Spirit on each one of us. He gives us the gift of faith, and it's the gift of faith that enables us to believe all that God teaches us is true. Our faith grows. It matures. The more we pray, the more we read Scripture, the more we gain understanding, the more we learn of God's ways, how he loves his children, how he loves the world, how he loves us so much that he would give his only son to die for us so that we might live. When we're baptized, we receive this Holy Spirit. And we also receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Those things which enable us to do the things that Jesus did. Those things that enable us to follow as disciples of our Lord Jesus. People of God, being born again means being born of the Holy Spirit. Renewing the renewer of life. Being born of the Spirit who renews our life. Like we said last week, breathes in that nephesh, that breath of life for God's people. Forgiven and cleansed from the stain of sin. It means that as we love God, we love him with our whole heart. We love our neighbor as ourselves. And we're called to share this love with others. Being born again means living a life of faith. Following our Lord Jesus, daily taking up our cross, denying ourselves and giving ourselves away for the sake of other people. That's when we realize the words that God so loved the world that he sent his only son to redeem that which was lost so long ago. God loved the world so much that he's willing to come and walk with his people. He's willing to come and live amongst his people, endure the same hardships, feel the same pain, face the same temptations, and yet remain obedient even unto death. God loved the world so much that even after this happened, he raised his son from the grave on the third day. And in that resurrection, he promised also that as we die, he will raise us too. Just as Jesus lives, we shall live. In the same way, we await for his coming again, knowing and trusting that death no longer has hold over us. God loves us so much that as he pours out his Holy Spirit upon us, that we take these things even to the grave, but we know that the grave can't hold us. The grave has no room for us any longer. Because Christ lives, we shall live. These are the things that we learn about God by the time we're 12 years old. These are the things that we will take with us all the way through our life. And we will share them with others so they too can take these things with them through their life, sharing them with the ones they meet. But of all these things we understand that being born of water and the Spirit means being joined with our God forever and ever. One day our earthly life will end, and we know this. But when that day happens, we will see our Lord face to face. We will see the God who fills the temple. We will see the God who, when he speaks, the thunder roars. We will behold the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who comes to us as the Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world, the one who welcomed all of his children into his midst. And we will behold the Holy Spirit, who gives us the faith to believe that, as Luther says, these things are most certainly true. Amen.